Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Bean.
And we welcome you guys to our show, which is going to be an awesome one because we're talking about convention horror stories. What more fun than to talk about the terrifying things that happen at conventions? So much fun.
And so many things, too.
I don't have as of recent stories.
You don't have to be recent.
Right. I can go back on a few stories that I've experienced at conventions. That's always
interesting. I know you have one big story.
Is that the one that where I thought I lost my virginity?
No.
Oh.
GasCon.
Oh, that's right. GasCon. I didn't technically lose my virginity. There was another time that happened. But it almost happened that night.
God.
Thank goodness.
I guess we'll get into that. Also, by the way, I'm sick. So if my voice sounds weird or if you hear me coughing a little bit, that's why.
And if you hear me like periodically kind of just tune out, it's just because I'm playing with kinetic sand on my end. So it's like I've discovered this. I think I bought it at a FYE. That's like four-year entertainment. It's like a fun little thing. But I found it and I'm like, oh, sweet, I'm buying this. And I've been playing with it ever since. It's like the most fun thing ever. You see why there's hundreds and hundreds of YouTube videos on this stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like slime.
Yeah, pretty much. It's really interesting how they make it, though. There's like different ways of doing it, but I think I might want to make my own. So I asked a question on Facebook. Who in the fandom do you guys look up to? And you guys all, a lot of you responded. And so I was just going to read off a few of those here. Chloe Jeffries, also known as Boomstar. Kajani Lion, he's always been my main fursuiting inspiration, as it really does make people super happy and kids love it. I get hugs and huge smiles.
Yeah, I know that person.
Yeah, I Kajani Lion, I've seen him, but I haven't actually interacted.
He does like the magic of fursuiting videos on YouTube.
Oh, okay, okay. Cool. Oh, this is a cool one. So let's see if I can. How big is this post? Oh, it's not too big. So Brianna Ciacelli, don't murder me for not making that name right. They have said Rika/VixenDog.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that is? Or Vixen Down?
Vixen Dog? Yeah, she's a YouTuber.
Because she's not afraid to be herself, and it's refreshing to me to see someone who's not fake within the community and is a genuine person, not some overly bubbly, overly positive, overly fake, cheerful person. She's real with everybody, whether you're a fan or one of her longtime friends. I appreciate her very much, and I am a genuine person myself who is real with people, and I'm never fake, and I never sugarcoat things. I wanted to say never because never say never. Justin Bieber. I hate him.
Yeah, never say never. You never know when you're going to pull you some bullshit and you don't even realize it.
We all do it, but...
Because we all do every now and
then.
We
all do it, yeah. But still, I love their work. I believe, like you said, their YouTube channel. They make some really cool stuff.
Yeah, she makes really cute, like... Because her character has, like, I don't want to say, like, an evil twin, but a more, like, dark twin.
Like a doppelganger?
Turns into... Yeah, but her persona, like, turns into it, but just around Halloween. So around Halloween, her videos, like, change as well, and her fursuit changes.
That's cool.
It's really cool. And she also does cosplay stuff. She's not just, like, a fursuiter person. She also makes cosplays and all that.
Oh, that's cool. Another one here, we've got Kaylee Alvarado. A huge inspiration for me has to be unimaginative, also known as Zillion. I'm not familiar with Zillion.
That name's familiar, but I can't.
The name's familiar, but I can't put a face to it.
Mm-hmm.
He's put out amazing how to draw furries tutorials on YouTube. Not only this, but he's quirky and, as far as I can tell, a very kind and positive person. I've joined his Discord as well, and it's a great community. He's a huge art inspiration for young furs and beginning artists, and I admire that.
Now that you mentioned the tutorials online, I do know who this is now.
I think probably Felix does. I think I've heard him mention it once in a while, but he probably has dealt with them. We'll do a few more here, and then we'll get going with our show because it'll be a fun one. That's random. Nathan Bergman says it's Tuesday here, New Zealand. I don't know what that. I guess that's it, you look up to your country. Hooray! I don't really know what to go with that. We got Naoshi Imre. I really admire Ace of Hearts Fox's positivity and creativity. Plus, he's so generous to sing for us. We got Eric Stevens. I look up to the volunteers and staffs of conventions. They put in quite a lot of work to ensure that there's seven or thousands of attendees have a place to socialize and be themselves. That's actually a really good one. What is with this? Oh, okay. I get what's going on now. I keep seeing multiple, like all across platforms galore. I keep seeing like this hibiscus rainbow kind of like circle in people's profile pictures.
Oh, I was just going to talk about that. Hold on. Because while we are on the topic of furries that people look up to, I wanted to go ahead and bring this up for people who are listening. Recently, the fandom lost somebody really important. His name was Dog Bomb, and he recently passed away from ALS. And he was a really inspirational person in the fandom. And the day that he passed, furries were donating to the ALSA.org.
Oh my god.
So we hit, I think, over $100,000 and the website crashed.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so we're gonna put that link in the description of all of our posts for this video. We can make a separate video about him sometime this month. But I just wanted to go ahead and say that if you can, please go donate. He was a really great guy. And he was pretty much a legend in this fandom. So, and he helped a lot with not just like furries, but of course the people with ALS in general. So,
I didn't know much about him until I started to go further into searching. And it mm-hmm. seems like for someone of his, I guess of his ability, even though I'm sure he would have been in pain and had multiple problems, it's really fascinating to me to see people who still strive to go the distance. And that's someone that mm-hmm. that's who he was. And so I was just like,
yeah.
Oh man, I kind of wish I had a chance to meet him. That would have been a really cool person to like know. mm-hmm. So
I've known about him since sometime in the early 2000s when I was really young. I followed him on Fur Affinity just when I was a really young furry. But I was just following him for a while, and then I discovered him on Twitter just last year from when he was diagnosed. And I was like, I remember this guy, and I followed him, and I've been following him since he was diagnosed. And it's just, it's a lot.
And you know, that's the thing, is like, you don't have to be, you know, just super well known. Sometimes just being extraordinary gets you somewhere, you know, even if that mm-hmm. means it's just a little bit here and there. I wish more people in the fandom who were like Dog Bomb get acknowledged for it. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that, but maybe in the future it will, where more and more people will start to get acknowledged for it. I know there's lots of people.
But we can probably make a separate episode talking about him exclusively. Absolutely. But I just wanted to put that out there since it did happen less than a week ago of the time we're recording. So yeah, please go donate if you can. And maybe we could do a charity stream or something.
Well, that would be cool. We could do that.
Yeah.
All right. Now to segue on to our show. There's not really any good way to segue from that. Really, it's not.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of hard because how do you go from like someone who has lived their life and then, you know, has passed away and done something great onto convention horror stories?
Like, well, okay. What? If throughout your life you experience a lot, and if you're in a fandom and you're active and you're going to cons, and if you're just a super active furry, you're bound to have a lot of experiences. Good, bad, funny, you know. So we wanted to go ahead and just kind of put some humor into this week because I feel like the fandom needs it. And we're going to talk about our own horror stories, kind of just lighten the air a bit.
I've got a few. Who do you want to go first? You want me to go first or you want to go first?
It's up to you. I know we both have quite a few. I'm going to FWA next month. And it's like exactly a month from now, I think. And so I'm like looking forward to seeing what stories I'll have after that too. But like, I know I have plenty from past conventions.
Didn't, like, telephones like trailer get jacked at that con?
Yeah, that was a couple years ago.
Unfortunate. Oh man. Bring a taser with you to that con.
I live here.
Well, it's different for you.
I was going to say, I'm literally 10 minutes away from that hotel.
I had a friend that would go, she would, you know, go to FW. It's like her thing. I asked her like in a video because I was just videotaping. I'm like, what's it like there? And she's like, it's big and it's loud. And you go to the, you know, downtown, you bring friends with you. I'm like, why do you bring friends with you? And she's like, so you don't get shivved. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that went down a different route.
Yeah, I mean, living in Atlanta too, you'll see. It's not like, it's not the hellscape that people make it out to be at night. It is, you know, more dangerous, but most cities are dangerous at night.
Why don't you go for it? You're already on the topic.
Yeah, on the topic.
You're already talking about FWA. I'm sure you've got stories.
Oh, okay. Well, FWA, it's in Atlanta, but a lot, I know one year there was a lot of theft going on, but it was mostly outside of the convention space in like parking decks and stuff where people would leave their cars unlocked, people would bust into them. That luckily didn't happen to me because I'm not dumb and I don't leave my car unlocked. But then again, Eno's entire trailer got stolen, so I don't think some people care if your car is locked or not. They will find a way.
They always do.
And then someone, this isn't my own horror story, but it sounds terrifying. One year at FWA, someone's head got stolen out of the headless lounge. Like it was on one of the PVC head dryers, and someone just must have snatched it.
The way
it
you
off.
Said it, I'm like, did something like murder just happen? I'm sorry. Someone's head got stolen. What?
Someone's head got stolen, yes.
Yeah.
Gosh. But yeah, that sounds like a nightmare. I don't know if they ever got it back, but like, okay. In that specific instance, that a furry had to have stolen that because only furries are in the headless lounge. Even if you're a normal person going to the convention, they're not in the headless lounge. Okay? Normal people just don't go in there. So another furry had stolen a fursuit head. What are you going to do? Are you going to wear it around? Because obviously someone's going to see that that's not your character. Or the person that used to own it be like, what the fuck, that's mine, you know? Like, what, you can't. The best thing you could do is resell it, and even
you're
then you'll get in trouble.
How do you not see that happening though? Like, there had to be other people in that lounge unless there was only like maybe two people, but even then,
no, it when it's crowded it's actually hard because there are a lot of people in the headless lounge at FWA. It's a pretty busy convention to the point where like you can lose your friends in there. And the PVC pipes that people put their masks on to dry out, there's like, I think, 4 or 5 of them. So you just see like a tree full of fursuit heads in the middle of the room. So if you go and sit down and walk away from it, which most people want to rest and sit, you know, I guess a lot of furries are just trusting. If you're not keeping an eye on it, like if I walk away from the tree, then I'm constantly staring at my fursuit head. I prefer to use the fans that they have on the side of the room anyway, because those are less germy, but that's
Why
another
they
story.
Ever just like use like silica beads to draw out the moisture. It's faster.
I don't know.
Well, think about it. What are you doing? Let's think about this for a second. We're taking a side tangent here. Yeah. Put your fursuit head on a pipe that's blowing cold air out. Where is it going to,
it cools it off.
But
it
where
cools
does it
off.
Go? It doesn't like
the air. It goes out of the eyes and the mouth.
Where else does it go? It absorbs.
Through the foam? It dries out the foam.
It's also going to dry out the stank inside your head inside that foam. So if anything,
it's just a temporary thing.
I'm just saying, like, if you think about it, like, okay, we're going to, you know, we're going to dry people's fursuit heads off with this and cool it down, but now we're going to permanently damage the inside of them. No one's going to know.
It doesn't permanently damage it. That's
well,
not
that's
how
it works in my mind.
No, that's not how it works. Because it's drying it out. If anything, if you leave it wet, then it'll grow mold. So drying it out, like, it may still smell, but when you get done fursuiting and you're back at home, you're supposed
why
to wash your fursuit
like a bag of rice in there?
And even then.
Like you do with your phone.
Because that doesn't disinfect it.
You throw your phone in rice and it pulls out the water.
Yeah, but that doesn't disinfect it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, and you spray your head down with, like, fursuit spray, and then you dry
See,
it out.
I don't have a fursuit head or fursuit, so I don't know how to experience this. I'm sure once I get one, once I have it, then I'll be like, ha, okay, I get why people say things.
You will learn.
How? I mean, but still, like, did they, no one got their head, they didn't get their head back?
I don't know if they got it back or not, but because it was so crowded, if somebody just walks up and takes a fursuit head, everybody's probably just going to assume that it belongs to that person.
Weird. Yeah. There should be like, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Okay, so.
A number system.
So we're going to, you know, go into the Chuck E. Cheese realm here and take their securities. What they do is they mark you with like this ink that goes invisible basically unless you have a light. Sometimes there's wristbands, sometimes there's other things, but that wristband has to match the child in order for the child to leave. So if you don't have the right one, someone's calling the police on you. You could do the same thing.
That's
with
cool.
Fursuits, okay, so it's obvious. So with the fursuit, it'd be very like minute. So in order for the fursuiter to leave with their fursuit, both their fursuit and their head like has to match like the color. So if it's like, for instance, a purple ribbon that says like 2A, then the bottom half also has to say 2A and has to be purple. Try to walk out with that bad boy, we'll know someone's trying to steal it.
I feel like that would be more complicated. Maybe it would be more like I don't know if you've been to college or not, but when you go to buy your books at a college bookstore, they don't let you bring your book bag in because people will steal. So you go and you hand them your book bag and they hand you a number. And they, so maybe it could be like that where somebody is like handing you a number
per
and the number is per like tree that you're using.
Like a glorified coat. So anyway.
Yes. But that's just more staff members, and FWA is already understaffed. That's how we had an 8-hour line last year. Also because they were stupid and merged the pre-reg and unregistered lines together into
that's
one.
That's right. You were telling me, didn't they try to like enact a different wristband system or something like that?
Yeah, they're doing it again this year because they also don't like listening to the people that go to their conventions. Nobody liked those
and
wristbands.
They obviously didn't work.
And they're doing it again this year. So, you know, fuck us, I guess. We're giving you money and you're not even listening to what we want.
They don't care about what you want. They care about the money. That is how a business works. Well, most businesses. Not yours, though. Your business is.
I feel like they care. They don't listen. I remember another year. This was a couple years ago. They canceled the fursuit parade, but they didn't tell anybody until like a week before the convention. So everybody was really pissed off. Because nobody got like a heads up, and also a lot of like the dealers and stuff that can't leave their tables enjoyed the fursuit parade because they would go through the dealer's room and everybody could see the fursuits. So a lot of people were angry, but it's like they were less angry about the parade being canceled and more angry that FWA staff just didn't tell anybody until the week of.
That's just called poor communication.
And then they instead of a parade, they did a fursuit mingle. And I'm like, that's what a fucking convention is. What do you mean a fursuit mingle? The entire con space is a fursuit mingle. And they basically just had a designated area, like a floor, for all the fursuiters to go to get pictures together. And, you know, if you want to find a specific fursuiter, every fursuit is going to be at the fursuit mingle, so you can go try and find them. But that was a fire hazard. I walked through the fursuit mingle with my fursuit off, and I was disoriented. Like, so it was
that's
just
how,
a mess.
That's what I understand. Well, BLFC's been doing that. So they'll do like their tiny little parade, and then they'll basically jam pack this huge convention space full of fursuiters. But the cool thing is they have about 12 different stages, and those stages are for like to rotate the fursuiters around. So you have a chance to either go and take a picture or to, you know, get a picture with them. So they'll be like, all circles to stage two, everyone rotate to stage in this. So they're constantly moving around, which is actually kind of neat because it keeps the area not stagnant
at all. Seems more organized than just being like, okay, all fursuiters go to this floor at this time. So I guess that could start off our episode with the horror stories. This is last year at FWA. Guess what? The line was 8 hours long. They had to actually get staff members towards the nighttime when the registration line was starting to close. They had staff members going like an hour before it closed, tell the people at a certain point in line to just get out of line because they're not going to get to you in time. You might as well leave. And they were like, so we're going to be closing because the reg line closes at 6. So if the line is super duper long, as soon as 6 o'clock hits, they can only get so many people before it closes. So they determined how many people they were going to take, and then they told everybody else to stop staying in line. But they also didn't make people have to have badges to get into the rave or any of the, you know, rooms or whatever to make up for the fact that most people didn't have their badge yet. So that was a way that they compromised, which I at least appreciated that. But, you know, having a line that's 8 hours long, that's really unacceptable, especially for people with, you know, medical issues.
Disneyland lines aren't even that long.
And like AnthroCon, and I've been to anime conventions that are way bigger than FWA that only have like two staff members doing tickets. And at most, it's like 2 hours long of a line. So that was ludicrous. Casey and I, we just looked at the line and we were like,
this crap.
We didn't even get our, my friends didn't stay in that line. I was like, I'm a type 1 diabetic. If I'm like, I can fursuit for a good 5 hours and be fine, but that's because I'm moving around and I can take breaks when I want. But if I'm just standing still in a line and I can't get out to use the bathroom, I can't get out to get water. I'm sure the furries around me would let me leave the line if I had to and come back. Because furries are nice. But let's just theoretically say this is not the normal thing. Like, you can't have people standing in a line like that for so long. So hopefully they have their shit together this year, because that was ridiculous.
Wow.
No, there's no... I mean, they had bathrooms with water fountains, so I'm sure if you were, like, dehydrating, then, you know, you could walk over to the water fountain if you just told the people in front of you and behind you, like, hey, I really need some water. I'll be right back. Can you save my space in line?
How do you not have a backup system for something like this?
But
where is your plan B?
They didn't. I don't know why. So Friday is when I got my ticket, because Thursday night I was just like, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to wait in line that long. My friends duked it out. I don't know how they survived, but they did it. The next morning, Casey and I went an hour before the reg line opened, and people were already prepared. Oh, there were people even a couple hours before that in the morning. So, because they didn't want to stand in line like the other day. So everybody was getting up real early to go get their ticket. And we weren't too far back, but the line was a lot better the second day. I don't know. I think they separated the pre-reg and the normal reg, which helped.
They
and they must have gotten
you guys
some volunteers
like a credit
to help as well.
Something. Because they wasted your
something,
first day.
Yeah.
They wasted a full 8 hours.
Yeah, the entire first day of the convention was wasted for a lot of people. And so the second day, we were in line for maybe 2 hours, which is still long, but that's not nearly as terrible as 8 hours. And a couple days ago, Midwest Fur Fest, their Twitter account pissed off some people because they made a post that was like, lines are inevitable at any convention. What are some of your favorite memories made while waiting in line? And a lot of people commented and like, your line was like over 4 hours long. It's not cute or funny. We had no good memories. Fix it.
Wow.
It's not quirky. It's not nice. Like, they were trying to be all quirky about it. Like, I'm sorry, it's not an excuse. Like, you need to fix your line problem. Anime conventions, Comic-Con, they all have systems with way more people and don't have that problem. Also, I would gladly pay like $10 to $20 more for a badge if it was mailed to me. I would gladly pay shipping and a little extra fee to have my badge shipped to me. That way there is no waiting in line. People
that
have their badges
already.
That
would actually be not a bad idea.
It's not. A lot of conventions will do that. I don't know why they don't.
I mean, I'm sure there's always risk involved, but even then, I don't really see the difference of that than having like a passport being, you know, shipped to you. You don't go to passport office to pick up your passport.
I mean, it would be a lot of trips to the post office, so maybe they're just not prepared for that, like, with the staff members. There might be a reason, but
have they even addressed, like, we understand that last year was, you know, sucky as balls. We're not going to mess up this year.
I don't know if they addressed it. I would have to look at the Twitter page. I do know they did mention that they're keeping the wristbands, even though hated that.
Who admits it and then says we're still going to keep them? What? Okay.
They said they're going to, quote unquote, improve the technology. And I'm like, there's only so much technology you can fit into a little cloth
wristband.
Maybe they
were testing it over the year. They try to maybe implement something else. Let's hope this year they have a plan B, because if it doesn't.
Maybe. I'll give them one more chance with the wristbands. But it was also extremely uncomfortable having something tied to my wrist for 4 days.
That's like, yeah. It's like when you go to the fair and they give you like those wristbands. It's fun to wear it for the first day, but then it gets really effing annoying after a while.
Yeah, it was just annoying. And if you tried to take it off yourself, it would shred and it becomes invalid. You'd have to have tiny wrists to be able to slide it off.
Yeah, that just seems unnecessary.
It was to prevent ghosting, because a lot of people would be ghosting the con. But I'm like, you
everyone
still
just ghosted
don't
that first
have...
day because you had to let people do it.
I mean, okay, here's the thing about ghosting, whether you have wristbands or a badge. Because you can't take off the wristband and give it to somebody else to go into the Artist Alley Dealer's Den or whatever. I get that. Hmm. But.
Yeah.
I mean.
That is, it's still, let's hope they still address the issue and fix it, but
it's like, I understand why. I understand ghosting is a problem and it can cost a convention a lot of money, but you also need to make sure your line isn't 8 hours long. Like, your
well,
cons can't outweigh the pros.
FWA can follow the basic hair care solution principle, which would be to not shampoo. Well, we would be to shampoo, but definitely not rinse and repeat. So. So don't rinse and repeat, but I feel like they are.
I also thought the wristbands were just to like make the theme of the convention cooler because it matched the theme really well, which was
like you guys are being pirates.
Shit,
now?
What was it? It was like Space Rangers.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pirates this year, but last year was Space Rangers. So the little scanners in front of like all the rooms that you needed your badge to get into, they had like they looked like little stands. And when you scanned it, it would turn blue and you would be allowed in. So it was really kind of cool. It reminded you of a spaceship. But it got less cool after you would have to scan your arm 5 times to get in. And that means people were also having lines formed outside the Artist Alley, where beforehand lines weren't a thing outside of the Artist Alley.
Man.
So I just hope the technology is better this year, because that was truly terrible.
I have stories, but like my stories don't come into conflict of like the, I don't know, of the convention staff itself or the way that they do things. Mine are always like these weird like things that either observe is what I was going for. Always just things I observe. I've witnessed, I won't say who, because I promised I wouldn't say who, but I was at PLFC and I witnessed, you know, the drunk-er side of a well-known furry, which I thought was hilarious, but then the next morning we all found out it wasn't. So, because they were all trying to go through and censor everyone's videos because they didn't want something to leak out. And I'm like, you're not a celebrity.
Oh no.
It's not like Hollywood Access is going to grab your video and then put it out for everyone to see. It's not that bad. I thought it was hilarious as F. I don't think I actually deleted it though. I think I still have it. I may have said that I did, but I didn't. Please.
You can't treat life so seriously, especially life where you dress up as a fucking animal. Like, I have a vlog from FWA last year on YouTube, and it could be seen as embarrassing. Because it was, you know, we were all acting dumb, and I go back and look at it, and I was like, wow, I was acting dumb, but I still laugh at it, and I'm like, okay, that was how I was being, and it was a good time. Like,
but like,
it's a furry convention, don't treat yourself so seriously.
If you're willing to drink past the point where you can't control yourself anymore, you've given up your basic right of people to video you, basically. Because things are going to happen, and we have to get that shit on film. We just have to. It's just how life is. It's exactly.
How else are you going to remember it if you go too far?
Let's see. One of my biggest ones was Punya. This was my first convention that was multi-states. So the closest first one I ever went to was Potato Con up in Idaho, called Fred Ho, which sucked balls. and then they kept doing it over and over again, and then they stopped.
Well, it's a convention really about potatoes, so I'm sure it would suck.
I just call it Potato Con. Because it's Idaho. It's where all your potatoes come from. Smallest convention I've ever been to. And it was awkward. And then, you know, we got BLFC, which is in Reno. So that's just literally within a state away from us. So it's not a big deal. But I flew to this one. And we were talking, we had a panel called Convention Horror Stories. And we had about six guests on that thing. We packed the room. We packed the room past capacity. And they were starting to like tell us, we're like, hey, you've got too many people in this room. And it's like, I'm not the convention organizer. Don't tell me that. So so we have this, you know, we all share our stories. And then no joke, within, I want to say, 2 to 3 hours, there is an actual emergency at the hotel where I guess a chlorine jar was thrown down a like a stairwell, and it just it wreaked havoc.
Yeah, the stairwell
everywhere, and so the hotel basically shut down to the convention. And you know, like the lights are going off, you can see fire trucks. Twitter just blew up like nobody's business. Like Midwest Fur Fest was the number one topic for 6 hours on Twitter. Out of everything that could be going on, that was the number one thing. So while this is all going on, you know, it was scary and stuff. But like earlier that day, this is where I find humor in this, is I asked the hotel, I'm like, is there a pool or like a hot tub you guys have? Because I could really use like just a soak. Like, no, we got rid of it to make more convention space. I'm like, that sucks. So a couple hours later, past the panel itself, I'm up in the room. Punya is doing her thing. I'm drinking. So I'm like somewhat buzzed, if not a little bit further than that. And the lights start to go off in our room. And we're like, what's going on? Like, no panic whatsoever. And I call down and I'm like, hey, our lights are going off. Do we actually need to exit, or did someone just pull the fire alarm? They're like, no, we need you to exit the hotel. There's been an emergency. And I'm like, whatever. So I packed up everything I needed. I didn't actually take any clothes with me. I just took my laptop and a few other things, a charger. And then Punya and I and a couple other friends walked out. As we're walking down to the elevator, clearly the announcement saying, in an emergency, please take the stairs. Do not take the elevator. We take the elevator. We go down. And as soon as we get to the main floor, I get a waft of chlorine. It just smacks me in the face. And I'm like, they lied. They have a pool. I know they have a pool. I can smell it. I was so pissed to find out that it was just, I don't know. They've never actually told us who or what, why, how it happened.
I don't know if they found out.
But they did treat it as a threat. I don't know if they would call it a terrorist threat, but it was definitely a threat.
I think it had something to either I think what a hypothesis a lot of people had was that it had to do with drugs, so when making drugs, because you need chlorine to make certain drugs, I do believe. So that was a thing.
That's what one thought was. Someone else had thought that maybe like that notorious furry who carried his BB gun into a convention once was doing it. There had been numerous threats against Midwest Fur Fest that we didn't know about until after this incident. So everyone thought maybe it was that. We got displaced. This was the worst part. So if not like being evacuated from the hotel and not knowing if you're ever going to get back to your stuff, it's the it was the confusion, the chaos that happened afterwards. People are being basically pushed out and they're saying, get out, get out. But where are you supposed to go? There are no other hotels around. There's maybe like one like dinky hotel.
Yeah, weren't y'all all in the street?
Yeah, we were all like basically filed into the street. It's freaking ass cold out there. We're looking at like...
Yeah, a lot of people were in their fursuits and they're like, I'm grateful it's cold.
We're looking at like 15, 20 degree weather that we were out there in. People are being carried away in ambulances. We're constantly just keep walking. And the worst thing I saw was... There were some hotels around, but they were refusing to let people in. They didn't have anyone in the lobby, but they closed the doors on people that were outside and obviously cold and in a panic of not what to do. Like, it was awful. And I'm like, oh my God, can you just imagine if this was a bomb or if this was like, you know, something worse? Like, why aren't you letting us in? We all, like, we got into a friend of Punya's room. It's actually her fiance's room that we went into, now fiance. And we also just kind of crammed in there. But out of like the chaos of what happened afterwards, the beautiful thing happened within the chaos that I've never seen before, ever. We had people in Twitter hashtagging and saying, I'm missing a person. They look like this. This is what they were last looking at. And then you had hounds of people just searching for those people in the crowd, in the convention space, mm-hmm. in hotels, identifying, yes, that's this person. Yes, that's that this person. I was missing a person. I think it was Ash, and I was worried that, you know, I didn't know where he was. So I was like, hey, I'm missing this person. If you see him, please message or please, you know, notify. We found him eventually, but it was that system. It was this random mm-hmm. system that people just kind of started to do instantaneously. And that was really cool. That was fascinating.
Yeah. There was a lot, like, with the scariness of that, it did show exactly how, like, furries band do, together. I guess, exactly. care for each other, you know, in a way that other fandoms don't. And it was that, I do remember reading about that, where people were helping others find who they were looking for. There are people who were freezing cold, just random fursuiters were just holding people. Like, I remember seeing a picture of one fursuiter have, like, basically cradling three people in this 15-degree weather, keeping them warm. Like, the people who were in fursuits were keeping people out of fursuits warm, even if they didn't know them. Like, it was just fascinating to see. And then, of course, you know, when people were getting ill from the chlorine, getting help from that, and just, it was interesting to see in an emergency situation how furries reacted. And how furries were helping each other out. But,
like,
in
I'm
that
not
situation.
Gonna lie though, when I say this, like, I in that experience, everyone experiences it differently. It was when we eventually got to go back, we all took showers, went to bed, wake up the next morning. I think it was like the last day of the con. And it just felt different. It felt like someone had died. It was so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
People weren't really talking. Just didn't really know what to do. Like, there was just, like, how do you go?
Oh, I'm sure it was a buzzkill, yeah.
It was a big buzzkill, but it wasn't like a buzzkill, like, how dare you? It was more like, how do I process this that just happened? I wasn't directly, like, hurt or anything, but I had to go through the motions here like everyone else. So for no joke, for like a couple of weeks when I got home, every time I saw an ambulance, I froze up. So it was just,
mm-hmm.
that's what happened. But eventually I got over it. But I think, like, as far as like a horror story goes, that was like a true horror story that I hope to never experience.
Yeah, that one's like
again.
Legit.
So
that's a legit horror story. That's not just someone being stupid.
So
that was actually
it,
scary.
Punya and I have dubbed it as like chlorine con, or I don't know. There was so many pool con,
mm-hmm.
Different things that you can call it. But that was, it's both like a negative, but a positive, and a humorous, but scary experience all in one. So it was really interesting. Hope to mm-hmm. never.
It was definitely something that gave
yeah.
you some experience.
So that doesn't mean I won't go back to Midwest Fur Fest. I'll still go back. They handle that really well. No,
oh, yeah, it wasn't their,
like,
fault.
They handled it really well. They weren't responsible for, you know, displacing people. That was the staff pushing people out. But they did a really good job of making sure people were taken care of and that, you know, people got to where they needed to be. And then the next day, they just, like, they made the day feel more special. So it was nice. They did a really good job with that, especially. So.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, there was something that was kind of scary, but it ended up being humorous at FWA last year. I was going back up to the hotel room. We were in an elevator, right? And I was with, I think, two other friends and my fiance. So we were in the elevator going up to our room. None of us were in fursuit or anything. We were just coming back from, I think, the dealer's den. And the elevator stops, and these, like, three people, like, in suits that look like FBI agents, pretty much, walking in in a the most serious way possible. And one of them was like talking, I think, in a walkie-talkie or something. And like it closed and it just got dead silent. And then when the door opened up for our floor, they got out with us. And we were like, oh, God. And they like were basically speed walking to a room a couple doors down from us, right? And then following that, I don't know if I'm remembering this incorrectly or not, but I think there was also a gurney involved. Like, they had brought a gurney in. And we had... so basically a couple rooms down from us, something was going on. And... Oh my God, what is this? You're messaging me.
It's my kinetic boob!
Okay. You really, really are playing with kinetic sand joking. Right now, aren't you?
Anyways, back to your God. Terrifying FBI story.
Anyways. Yeah, so these super serious people, and then a cop, of course, showed up as well. Like, all these people were going in there, and we noticed, like, them bringing out a trash bag. Like a black trash bag of something or another. And then we went into a room like, well, we don't want to stand here and just rubberneck and look at these things. So we went into the room, and then later we came out to go somewhere, and this dude came out of the room next to us, and we were like, did you see what happened earlier? Like, we were talking to this guy. This is where it gets humorous. He was like, yeah, they like busted somebody for drugs and they had a seizure or something, but they ended up okay. I think they just went too far and they, you know, da 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 da. And then he was like, this is what ruins conventions. This is what makes conventions do this and that. And he like, we only asked him if he knew what was wrong. And then he talked at us for 30 minutes straight. Like, and his topics kept bouncing from drugs being super evil to like, furries being terrible to, oh, hey, I have to go. My VOR panel starts at 9. And I was like, what the heck? Just the way he was like talking about this and that and that. And blah, 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 blah. And he was like talking about how the Midnight Howl. I don't, you know what those are? Midnight Howls?
I think that's usually just furries howling at the moon.
Yeah, basically furries just coming out of their hotel rooms at midnight to howl. He was talking about how, like, that ruins the fandom. And I'm like, are you serious right now? The Midnight Howl is something that ruins the fandom. It might be annoying sometimes, but it's definitely not a direct issue. But just him trying to, like, shit on the fandom and then immediately saying, hey, I have to go. I have a VOR panel at 9. We were like... like, as soon as he left, we all just looked at each other and laughed because... he was such a weird person who was just so vocal. He just did not stop talking.
Oh my God. A VOR panel?
Oh. A VOR panel. He's like, yeah, my VOR panel starts at 9, so I gotta go. And we're like, okay, bye. It. Like, you just basically preached at us about things that don't matter that you think does matter. Like, it was all stuff that isn't bad. It was just random things. He was like, is quote unquote ruining the fandom. And it was stuff that doesn't even like it's not even mentioned often. It was all we very had, random.
One year at BLFC, we experienced cops rushing into the building. well, into the casino. I kept seeing mm-hmm. them, like, we were heading up, and I could just see, like, just swaths of people coming in. And I'm like, what the heck? And so they go up some of them go up the elevators, and we get on. And I'm like, wow, that sucks for that person, whoever it is. I mean, gee whiz. So we go up and we do our thing. We come back down and one of our friends, you know, is on the floor and he gets off on gets on the elevator with us and we're going down to the convention floor. And I'm like, so what was up with the cops? And he's like, oh, yeah, just some couple fight. You know, a man stabbed his wife and all that jazz. Just a couple doors down from where I am. And I'm like,
oh, my God. That's
cool. And then we just get off and like leave. It was because it's like,
wow.
Of all the things to happen at the furry convention, I mean, by all means, we are in.
It wasn't even like furries who did it, right? It was just a normal couple who were fighting.
I don't know.
Why do straight people stab each other?
It was just weird. And so, I how could you not laugh at that? I mean, it's. I think that was the same convention that some random guy, and I always tell this story, like, just in general, this random guy in the parking lot is walking around with a carton of blueberries. And he's asking people if you want to buy his blueberries. And I'm like, this was a
I would buy his blueberries?
Looking, like, weird man. And like,
Buy us blueberries. Well, don't be a coward. Is,
like, Curtis and I are like taking our stuff back to the cars. We're getting ready to leave. And
the only healthy thing you'll eat all weekend, a homeless man's blueberries.
And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm good. And he's like, it's not drugged if that's what you're thinking. And I'm like, when people say things aren't drugged, that usually means they're drugged, especially in this setting. So I'm like, Curtis, run, go to the car. So I run to the car and I never saw the guy again, but I'm just like, beware of the blueberry man every time I go to this convention.
It reminds me of Zootopia. The drugged up blueberries that they were.
It's so stupid, but like, I mean, come on, people. Who walks around randomly in the parking lot with a half-eaten carton of blueberries and you're trying to sell them to people? What's wrong with you? I know they're laced with something. You're going to jack my car or something. It's just weird. It was the weirdest thing, you know?
That is really strange.
Armpit of America, Reno, Nevada, and we get asked to buy a half carton of blueberries from a random stranger in the parking lot.
I mean,
say to that.
Well,
I don't
even, yeah, how know. Do you even I respond just to that?
No.
Oh man. So all right, so I have a story. This is one of the, like, it's like if I'm going to be known for a convention horror story, this is a story I tell multiple times every year because it's so ridiculous.
You want to be known?
This person has become like, it's because this person has become a meme in my group of friends. So one year, this was, I think, 2 years ago, I was taking character badge pre-orders to deliver FWA, you know, $15 badges. If you're going to FWA, delivery is free. And somebody had commissioned me for a badge. Their fursona was a platypus, which I was like, oh, that's cool. And I enjoyed drawing it, you know, and I had it with me at the convention. And they were messaging me on Twitter like, I told them, I was like, hey, I'll be in the artist alley from these times to this time on these days. So come and pick up your badge then. They never came to my artist alley table to pick up their badge. So they had messaged me and they're like, can I just come pick it up from you, like in your room or something, since I couldn't find you at the artist alley. And I was like, I guess that's fine. Yeah, I'm just going to come up here and take it, right? No, that was a mistake. Don't let people go up to your hotel room to pick up art. If you're going to do that, just do it somewhere else. Yeah, and bring people with you. So this girl comes up, knocks on the door. I open it. Some of my friends are like getting ready to go to the con floor. My fiance had her fursuit on. We were literally about to like go somewhere. And so she comes up and I thought it would be an in and out thing. I didn't even want her to come in. I was just going to hand her badge and be like, okay, bye. And, you know, close the door. I hand her badge. She likes it. It was fine. She was kind of like, the way she talked, it was kind of like a squeaky, cringy kind of voice. Like, it seemed like she was putting on a voice, you know, like a fake voice. I didn't know if that's just how she talked or if she was putting on a voice. But she was like, can I come in for a second? Like, it, and before I could even give her a response, she like wormed past me and came into our room. So this girl comes in, she has like a stuffed animal with her, and she starts talking through the stuffed animal, like, hi, nice to meet you, my name is Anna. And we were all standing there like, okay, who's this person? And I was just like, I guess this is a thing now. So I was like, this is the person that's picking up our badge. And I told her, I was like, yeah, we're about to go out to the con floor. And she goes, okay, well, I'm just gonna hang here and and I was just like, who said you could do this? And she was just being really annoying and weird and clingy. She started telling us her like life story. She was like, this is my first time coming to a convention without my parents, and she's like, they keep me in a cage all the time, and it's just so no. And she was like going on and on and on about how she hates her parents. And then I asked her how old she was, and she said 23, and I told her, aren't you a little too old for that? And she was like, that's what I think, but and she just kept going on and on. And occasionally still talking through the stuffed animal like a freak. So that was a thing. Then she turns her head. This is going to get not safe for work for a second. She turns her head and sees that we have like 4 Bad Dragon dildos.
Oh no.
Sitting on the ledge of the window from smallest to largest. Because we all had bought some and we thought it'd be funny to just put them up there. I don't know. It was just funny to have them there. And I didn't expect strangers to come in my room to see some dicks in the window. So, you know, and she looks at them and she goes, oh, are those for display only? And then someone in the room goes, nope, we use them. And she was like, wow. Like, she was just like, and so, like, it was supposed to be, like, a funny thing, I guess, but because she had saw those and she wants to try and fit into our little group, like, anytime somebody said something that went against what she said, she would correct herself just to match the opinion of the other person.
Do that.
You know what
annoying.
I'm talking about when people do that? Like, you could be like, yeah, like, someone could be like, I hate Cocoa Puffs, to be like, well, I like Cocoa Puffs. And this one was like, well, Cocoa Puffs aren't that bad. It's like, shut the fuck up. You just said you hate them. So she was basically, she saw that we had Bad Dragon dildos and we made a joke about them. So this triggered something in her brain to start extremely not safe for work. Like, just talking about some nasty, weird, not even normal things, just weird things. And it was making us super uncomfortable. Like, she was talking about things that she found, like, sexually attractive, and we were just like, who is this person? We don't even know your name.
Why are you here?
And as this is happening, we're, like, slowly leaving the room, like, trying to, you know, be like, okay, we're leaving now. And she followed us out and followed us to the elevators. And we have said goodbye to her about 5 times at this point, obviously trying to tell her, hey, go away, but in a nice way, you know? But as we go into the hallway where other people are, she starts talking about even weirder not safe work shit out loud. The thing I remember the most is, do you know how much wolf cum is on Amazon? And we were like, what are you saying out loud like this? Oh my God, like in front of other people. Yeah, she said that. She was like, you know how much wolf cum is on Amazon? Because I really want some. And we were like, oh my God, this girl's messed up. She was just freaking us out. And she kept being like, she was like, touching our shoulders and grabbing our shirts, or if we would turn to talk to somebody else, she would like,
hey,
grab our shirts and pull us.
Reason why her parents would go to conventions with her,
yeah,
or they're there and she somehow got away,
yeah. And while this is all going on, my fiance is in her fursuit, right? So luckily her face wasn't showing, so she had a plus to that. But eventually we got her to leave. And this is how we did this. The elevators at FWA can get kind of crowded, especially on Saturdays. So the elevator opened and there was only room for one. And they were like, yeah, we only have room for one. And we all looked at her. We were like, oh, yeah, you go. We'll meet up with you downstairs. And we like pushed her into the elevator. Like we physically like grabbed her shoulder and pushed her into the elevator and it shut. And then she went down. And then half of us went like down the stairs and half of us used a different elevator completely. And basically, we avoided her that way. But when we finally got away from this weirdo girl who was just being super clingy and super weird sexual and making these weird voices and talking through her stuffed animals, like, it was strange. When we finally got away from her, my fiance, who I said was in her fursuit, right? We were downstairs. She took her fursuit head off and she goes, I know this girl. And I was like, how do you know this girl? How? And apparently, at FWA the year before, this same girl, we call her Platypus Girl. Platypus Girl was in the artist alley drawing for people, like for commissions, you know? And when we were going through the artist alley the year before this happened, Platypus Girl had stopped my fiance, pressured her into commissioning her, like guilt tripping her and telling her, no one ever commissions me, blah, 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 and like being just super guilt trippy. And, like, Casey was like, yeah, I guess, you know, and then gave her, like, a reference sheet or something. She just felt bad for her, even though she's being super pushy. And, like, when we went back to pick up the commission, she basically just pretty much traced what the reference was. Like,
God.
It was straight up, like, she paid her to trace her own work. It was $40.
What? I would be so pissed.
Yes. Because her work didn't even look that bad in her example. So we were like, okay, I guess we will. But then when she actually drew something for us, it was terrible. We were like, there were 2 headshots and they were traced. Like, she didn't even keep the artwork afterward. She just kind of threw it away.
I'd be like, no, I'm going to
donate
it to your work.
So the year after, like, going back to the present when we shoved her down an elevator to lose her, I was like, are you kidding me? That's the same girl? So no wonder she was so guilt-trippy and pushy. She's super clingy to us right now. Like,
oh,
I'm so
God.
Glad you have your fursuit head on, because I would hate for her to recognize you and be like, put more money on me or whatever. And apparently later, this happened to my friend. I wasn't there when this happened, but my other friends, Jess and Aaron and a few other people, they were going through the artist alley and she was in there like trying to sell art. So Platypus Girl was there and they had saw her and they're like, nope, time to go. So they tried to turn around and leave. But Platypus Girl gets up from her artist alley table, runs over to them, and as they're running away, like not running away, but they're turning away trying to act like they didn't see her, Platypus Girl grabs my friend's book bag and yanks him back. Like a violent pull. And my friend snapped. He was like, he turned around. He was like, you do not grab people. You do not touch people without asking. You have been clingy and annoying this whole time. Don't mess with us anymore. And Platypus Girl was like, oh, sorry. Like, she talks like this. It was weird. And that's, she finally left them alone after that. And I didn't see her again. Honestly, if I run into her again this year and she tries to talk to me, I'm just going to tell her to go the fuck away. But that was a nightmare because she was being so weird and so sexual. Like, and there were other people around the elevators waiting as well. And you could tell they were also uncomfortable. And when we had pushed her into the elevator to get away from her, we turned towards the other people and we were like, we don't know that girl. I'm so sorry you had to hear all that. She was just following us. And he was like, oh, it's one of those furries, huh? And we were like, yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah, Platypus Girl's a nightmare. Awful. And not that many people have a platypus persona. So it might be easy for someone to find her now that I come to think of it. But honestly, Platypus Girl, if you're hearing this, don't talk to me ever again. Okay, so I think that's about all of the horror stories I have. Is that all for you as well?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. God. Ugh, maybe I'll have more Platypus Girl stories for this year's FWA. I genuinely hope not, but if I do, we'll have a part two.
But see, that's the thing, though, is we can't have a part two if you don't meet Platypus Girl. What if you, like, send her, like, secret notes that don't have any indication that it's you? But
that's harassment space.
Well, I guess you're right. That is
harassment. Again, she harassed us, so whatever.
Okay, what about this? What if you go to FWA, you put some mediocre art and maybe like a Pokemon plush on the ground with the string attached to a box attached to some stick, and then she'll go for it and you'll catch her.
That's exactly what I'll do. Thank you for the idea.
As soon as you do it, you can just yell in the air, Platypus!
Oh my gosh! Got him!
That would be great. Anyways, thanks everyone for listening in, and we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.